Hey, listen, my name is Sean. I'm the number two pastor here at Life Community Church. That's right, number two. Most people would call me the associate. I don't like that word. It's boring, it's old and stuffy. I'm like, I don't want to be associated with boring, old, and stuffy. And so I'm the number two pastor. I believe that every number one leader, every strong leader needs a great number two guy. And I am so thankful that I get to do that here at Life Community Church. So glad that God has called my family to be here and serve with Pastor Jamie and Kelly and the vision that God has given them for this church, and absolutely love that. Obviously, Pastor Jamie's not with us this weekend. Him and his family are in Florida vacationing, having a really good time. And so this week, right, as you just do what you do all week long, I would encourage you to stop. I hope the Holy Spirit nudges you this week every once in a while as you're driving, as you're eating, as you're outside doing whatever you're doing, cutting the grass, picking up this, doing that, laundry, all those kind of things. The Holy Spirit would lay on your heart, right, to pray for our pastors and to pray for them as they're in Florida, that they would enjoy their family, right? That they would enjoy their family, they have a great time unplugging, that they would be revived, that the fellowship they have with their kids, the fellowship they have with the Lord would be great and would be refreshing, it would be awesome. And so, man, make sure you take time this week to pray for them. We appreciate them so much. And then also, this is coming from me, the number two guy, right? Hey, you, if you're a parent, you know what it's like, right? You love your kids, but it is great to get away from them, isn't it? Right? I mean, it is great to unplug. Come on now. It is great. Grandpa says amen. And so it is great to unplug, right? It is great to say, you know what? I love them. But here's the thing. And then when we get back from that weekend or that whole day or the 3 days or 4 days, or even if you're lucky, you get like 5 days or 7 days, you know, grandma and grandpa take them for that long. When you get back, you're like, these are the best kids ever, right? Listen, every once in a while, pastor needs to get away from the sheep. You know what I'm saying? Like he needs to unplug. No, nothing against us at all. No big deal at all. But hey, listen, I want to encourage you this week. Don't send him a text message. Don't send him an email. I love that man to death, but he can't say no to you. He can't say no to you because he loves you and he cares for you deeply and he enjoys being a part of your life, which is awesome. We love that we have that in a pastor. But this week, let's let him unplug. So if you need something, there's plenty of people to get a hold of. You have a small group leader. You can get a hold of me. You can get a hold of Casey. You can get a hold of Jody. You can get a hold of Nicole. You can get a hold of Christine. You can get a hold of, I mean, it doesn't matter. You can get a hold of all of us. We're here for you. And if it's an emergency, we promise you we will find out where he is, right? And then let him know. And so, amen. Hey, before we start, let's pray for our pastors and this morning. And let's continue on. Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity you've given us to be here as a faith family. And God, I pray that we would never take advantage, God, of the time that we get to get together every single Sunday morning, God, to worship you in freedom. We are so thankful, God, for the many people before us, God, that have paved the way so that we could worship in this house for free. God, I thank you so much for Pastor Jamie and Kelly. I thank you for the vision that you laid on their hearts 8 years ago before Life Community Church ever existed. And God, I pray this week that they would enjoy their family just immensely, that they would have a great time, that it would be rich in relationship and conversation, not just with each other, but also with you. Would you just encourage them and bless them? I pray that the seconds would go by like hours. And so thankful for our pastors, and I pray you bless them today. It's your awesome, we pray him. Amen. So, it's my turn, right? You got to talk to me, be awake. If you need more coffee, that's all right. You can get up and leave, get your coffee, and come back in, all right? And I only have an hour. That's why you came to the 9 o'clock service. Listen, when you walked in, you were given a bar of soap. Yes. A bar of soap. Listen, most of us in this room would say, right, and if you agree, raise your hand, that soap is beneficial. Now we know who did not use soap today. Right? Yeah, soap is beneficial. We get it. We understand, Pastor Jamie and I. We completely get it. Listen, in summertime, you're on vacation. The routines are different. Kids are out of school. Everything is different in the summertime, right? And so you're at the lake more often. You're in the pool more often. You're at the water park more often. You're through the sprinkler more often. I mean, you're just enjoying all of summer with your kids, with your grandkids, with your friends, all those things. You're getting away, and we love that. We think it's awesome, all that kind of stuff. I mean, when it's 90-plus degrees outside in stinking St. Missouri or Illinois, wherever we're at, it is humid, hot, humid, hot, humid, hot, it's like, please send me to the beach. Where's that pool? Where's that water park? I need to cool down. Unfortunately, that place that you go to cool down, they don't hand you a bar of soap while you're there. It's not like you go to Six Flags and before you get in the water park, there's an attendant says, here's a bar of soap. Please use that while you're in the pool, right? It's not like when you go to the beach and you walk down the way before you get on the beach, somebody hands you a bar of soap and says, hey, would you please use that before? Unfortunately, right? Listen, some of us think because we got wet today, we don't stink today. And you're like, are we really having this conversation? We are, folks. We are. We don't have to always talk about spiritual things. Why can't we talk about physical things, right? We're having this conversation this morning. Listen, Pastor and I want you to enjoy your summer. We want you to enjoy your summer. And most importantly, we want those around you to enjoy their summer as well. We want them, listen, your neighbors, listen, I promise you, if you use soap, you're like, man, what is up with Dad? Over to the barbecue. If you use soap, listen, your kids are going to be like, man, what is up with Dad? Like, I'm telling you, I just want to be around this guy. Like, what happened to Dad? Like, this is incredible. If you use soap, man, I'm telling you, your lady in your life is going to look at you in a way she hasn't looked at you in a long time. I'm telling you, soap is beneficial. It's so important. If you don't hear anything that I say this morning, I want to say this to you. Use soap. Please use soap. You know, this summer we're obviously reading through the book of John, and I hope that you've taken the time to actually do that. I hope that you've signed up for the emails where you get a little note from Pastor and then the scripture that he's specifically going to be looking at on that upcoming Sunday. And we would love to go through the book of John verse by verse, section by section, but we would be here literally, we would have to be here for like 5 hours every Sunday, and then it would take us like 3 years. I think on chapter 6, where we're going to be at today, I could literally spend like a year just on chapter 6 because it's just so rich with incredible things. And so basically, we're reading through a chapter, and then on that Sunday, when we get to that Sunday, whoever's speaking is actually picking something specific to bring out of that book. And so obviously this week we're in chapter 5 and chapter 6. I'm going to be going over chapter 6 this morning. But here's the thing. When you're home, as you're reading the Word of God, when you open it and you read that chapter, I want you to stop after you get done reading that chapter. And I want you to think to yourself, what scripture, right, pops out to me? What scripture, what scriptures, it might be one, it might be two, it might be three, what scriptures pop out to me? Then after you write that scripture down, you write that reference down, I want you to make an observation about that scripture. I want you to think to yourself, what are they saying? What's going on? What's taking place? Who are the characters? Who's speaking? Who's not speaking? What are they supposed to be doing? Like, what's just happening there? Listen, you don't have to be a theologian. This doesn't have to be difficult. You don't have to get all crazy about it. Just make some observations about what's taking place. After you make some observations, right, write down some application. Write down, think through, process through some application. How does this apply to my life? How can I take what's happened here and actually use it in my life? What are some of the things that maybe the Lord is speaking to me in regard to the scripture that I wrote down and the observation that I've made? What is the application? And the fourth and last thing, which is so important, is just take a minute to pray. Pray over that scripture. Pray over that observation. Pray over that application. Pray. And most importantly, when you pray, take a minute to write down a few next steps. Take a minute just to write down a few next steps. What is the Lord asking me to do this week? What can I do? What is that? There's two questions that every Christian, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. I know. And so listen, the first question is this. What is Jesus saying to me? The second question is this. What am I doing about it? What is Jesus saying to me? And then secondly, what am I doing about it? This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And soap, right? It helps us through this process. So let's move to John chapter 6. Are you still alive out there? Are you sure? Okay, now listen, you've already read this chapter. So I'm going to ask you some questions and you should be able to answer them. Amen? Okay, we're going to see who's been reading. Ushers, do you have the test? Can you bring out the test? No, I'm just kidding. Listen, John, I want to talk about John real quick, right? And I know Pastor spent some time discussing this with John, but John is just this incredible man of God. But more importantly than an incredible man of God is this. He is the best friend of Jesus. Yeah, Jesus had a best friend. That person would be John, right? That person would be John. John was one of the very first people that Jesus actually called out of the crowd to be his disciple. There was three of them that were really, really close to Jesus, right? Three of them very close. John, Peter, and James. Extremely close in the inner circle with Jesus. They got to experience things, hear things, do things that nobody else got to be a part of. I mean, John is not passionate about Jesus because he's just God. John is passionate about Jesus because Jesus is his best friend. And he's actually walked with Jesus on earth. He's an eyewitness. I don't have faith because the Bible says so. I don't believe in Jesus because the Bible says so. I have faith. I believe in Jesus because there was a real man that lived on earth some years ago by the name of John. And he saw some things. He lived some things. He walked with a real Jesus. And he would say to us, "You are crazy. I'm telling you, crazy if you don't pursue Jesus Christ, because this isn't just some story. I didn't hear about this thing that just happened a few years ago or in the next town. I walked with this man when no one else was around and he was the only one talking. I heard him speak." I mean, John got to see some things that nobody else got to see. John was present for Jesus' transfiguration, literally watched him enter into heaven in his new body. John was present when Jesus was sweating drops of blood in the garden. Listen, this stuff really took place. It really happened. John's really there. And this is why he is so passionate. And it's so important we pay attention to what he's saying. John was present when Jesus was sweating drops of blood in the garden. Last Supper, John sat at Jesus' right side when he and looked at John and said, "Who will betray the Lord?" While he was on the cross, while Jesus was on the cross, Jesus looked down at his devastated mother and looked at John and he said, "John, will you take care of my mother?" Listen, John was the first disciple to show up at the empty tomb and recognize Jesus from rising from the dead. Listen, John is the only disciple that didn't die a martyr's death. He lived approximately to 100 years old. In his last years, his last 20, 30 years, right, there was no one on earth that were able to communicate the things of God like John was. He was passionately in love with his best friend, Jesus. Not just a God, but his best friend. I could only imagine, like, in my 20s, if I got to sit around a guy like John when he was in his 80s and actually got to hear the stories from his lips, the stories that I read, have been reading this summer. Man, it will be amazing when we get to heaven and we get to hear eyewitness experiences. You and I, our experience is opening up the Word of God and reading it, right? But these are true stories. These things really happened. Right? They really, really, really took place. And it's so important when we open up the Word of God that we see that, we understand that. And so what a blessing, what an honor it is, how awesome it is that we get to hear a real account of the things that have taken place. I don't know if this is true about you, but it's true for me. As I've been walking with the Lord, as the Lord has been walking with me, I've come to the realization this, that it is much easier to give God my sin than it is to give my stuff. It is much easier to give God my sin than it is to give God my stuff. When the Holy Spirit reveals something in my life in regards to sin, I'm usually like, absolutely, you can have it. Like, instantly I'm like, you know, like I respond quickly and I'm like, man, God, yeah, man, I don't want there to be anything that separates us. I don't want anything to hinder our relationship, you know, not that it hinges on the fact of me being perfect. It doesn't. Yet at the same time, like, I'm just like, Lord, please take it. But when he comes to me and he says, and it's usually he catches me off guard. Sin usually doesn't catch me off guard, right? You know what it was like to be a kid and your mom and dad were walking in the room. They said, "Hey, I want to have a conversation with you." And you're like, "Yep, I'm busted." Yep, right? We get that. Yep. But in this situation, right, God would come to me and he throws me a little off guard. He's like, hey, listen, that thing in your hands. Yeah, that thing that you love so much, that thing that doesn't really harm you physically, that thing doesn't really harm you spiritually. Can I have it? Can I have that? And I'm like, can we set an appointment for next week? I'm a little busy right now, but I got a free time about 7 days from now, some coffee. Can we talk about it then, Jesus? Right? And it's almost like I hold on to that and I keep that because it's like, God, why do you want this? Like, it's not harmful. It's not sinful. Like, it's not separating. It's not creating a gap in between you and I. It's been good for us. Why do you want this thing? And I'm like, Listen, I don't know about you, but what is true about me, I'm sure is true about you too. Sin, one thing. Stuff, completely different thing. The Bible is about, the Bible obviously 100% is about Jesus, yet there are three themes, three pathways that lead to Jesus. The first two pathways are going to be very, very familiar to you. You're going to be very familiar with these two pathways. And the first one is this, sin, right? God reveals to us our sin, right? And then we see our need for a Savior. And because of that, then we give our lives to Jesus. Anyone that's given their life to Christ knows this. Anyone that's consistently coming to church, this is why you're coming probably, right? Is you realize, man, there is stuff in my life that has separated me from Christ. That stuff is sin. There's nothing I can do about it other than to accept a Savior, someone to save me. This is a pathway. Sin is a path to Christ. And if I accept Him, receive Him, then I have eternal life with Him. This is a pathway. Sin is a pathway that leads us to Jesus. The second pathway is this. None of us like this pathway, right? The sin thing is not a big deal. This one, we're like, we don't enjoy it. We're very familiar with it. And two, these two pathways we talk about all the time at church. You hear about them, especially this one. Another pathway to Jesus is suffering. Suffering, right? As we suffer, Jesus grows our character to become more and more like His as we suffer, right? In our suffering, where we're weak, we become strong. All of us know, right? We're like, man, that was such a difficult season of my life. That was so hard. That was so difficult. I barely got through that. But man, I'm telling you, I'm so glad. I mean, God taught me so many incredible things. I feel so much more mature in my relationship with Christ. I mean, there's some things that I can share that I'd never know, right? Like suffering leads us, is a pathway that leads us to Jesus. Sin, pathway that leads us to Jesus. Suffering, pathway that leads us to Jesus. Those two things we hear about all the time in church. We talk about it almost every single weekend. But it's this one we hardly hear about. It's this one that Jesus spent 25% of the time talking about. Every one out of four times when Jesus opened up His mouth, this next pathway, He was talking about. If we talked about this pathway as much as Jesus did, that means Pastor Jamie, one out of every four times that he gets up here to preach on Sunday morning, he would talk about that this pathway. And that pathway is this, stewardship, your stuff, right? Your stuff. Jesus has purpose for your stuff. There's a reason why Jesus asks us to open up our hands and to give Him our stuff. And He's explaining this through the Gospel of John, literally. He's communicating to us why it's so important that we not just grow in Him when it comes to, or be more like Him, or give Him our sin. It's important for us to learn in suffering and to grow in character and to be stronger where we're weaker. But also it's important we give Him our stuff, all of our stuff. That we are living a life of surrender, because in giving our stuff, right, it has the potential. This is so incredible that Jesus would even involve us. That's what I love so much about Jesus, right? Jesus is sitting back here, right, like, come on, Sean, get it, do it, like, do your thing. I love it. It would be much better if He just got up and talked, right? Like, it would, seriously, like, if He just appeared right here, we'd be like, that was incredible. But He doesn't do that. He's like, I want to use you. Go. And He wants to do the same thing with our stuff. He wants this summer for us to be processing through while we're at the lake, while we're at the pool, while we're running through the sprinkler, while we're having a backyard barbecue. Hey, listen, I want to physically change somebody's life, Sean. To which in return, we might open up their eyes spiritually. Because Sean, you know they have physical needs, but not only do they have physical needs, they have spiritual needs. And if you let me use your stuff, there's good potential that something amazing would take place. And this is what this story is about. There's this little boy that has some stuff. And he's willing, right, to say, I don't know what you're going to do with this little bit of stuff that I got. But here it is, Jesus. And Jesus does one of the most amazing miracles ever. So amazing, right, that it's recorded in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The only story that's actually all recorded in four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right? Hey, listen, I don't know about you. But I'm like, man, God, whatever you want to do this summer. However you want to use me. as I'm on vacation, as I'm hanging out with my family, as I'm hanging out with my neighbors, as I'm at the baseball park, as I'm doing all this stuff, let me be aware of the stuff that I have. And when you call for it, let me not hesitate. Because only you know what's going to happen with it. All right, I could be done now. So let's get to the passage, John chapter 6, 1 through 10. Listen, and I'm going to go through 1 to 71, yet we're going to be here all day. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to skip stuff. That was supposed to be funny. You got to get with me here, all right? Like, seriously. And sometimes Jamie comes off the crowd, he's like, that crowd was tired. I'm like, man. So after this, let's pause, verse 1. If you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to open it up. If you have the YouVersion app, I'd encourage you to open up. I get it's all here on the screen as well. But listen, you're reading this already through the week. So bring the device, the thing that you're using to read during the week, bring it with you so it's in front of you, okay? So you can write down notes and you can jot down things and all that kind of stuff. Listen, a great Bible is a Bible that has notes all over it. Some of you would be like, no way, I'm never writing the book. If you're like my wife, you're like, don't ruin the book. It's precious. I'm like drawing that thing, doodling that thing, do whatever you got to do, right? After this, so obviously there's a lot of things that happened before this. And since you've been reading the book of John, what are the things that have happened before this? That's not a rhetorical question. That's actually, speak to me. Jesus turns water into wine. What else happens? Could you imagine being at this party? I mean, I wish I would have gotten the chance to get to speak on this passage of scripture. There is hundreds of gallons of water. And Jesus is like, yeah, party's kind of dull. Let's liven this bad boy up. And he turns water into wine. Not grape juice, folks. Wine. Seriously, like, come on. Who doesn't want to serve this God? You know, obviously he turns water into wine, right? He's meeting physical needs, right? Showing people that he's supernatural God. Meeting physical needs, showing people. So after this, what else happens? Tell me. Say it again. Spoke to the Jewish woman. Pastor Jamie just talked about this last week, incorrect? Yep. She's like, where are you going to get water for? You ain't got no cup. What? Right? He says, no, I have like water that you'll never thirst again. You'll never thirst again. Meeting physical need, right? Showing that he's supernatural God. What else do we read about? Anything else? How about this one in chapter 4, right, where the government official comes to Jesus. He's like, my kid is dead. My kid is dead. He's like, go home. They're alive. But again, physical need. All this person can see is their physical need. God does something radical, raises somebody from the dead. They're just sleeping. No big deal. I'll take care of the situation. Showing that he's supernatural God. Showing that he is God, right? Chapter 5. This last chapter, this week, you should write chapter 5 as well, right? Jesus walks up to a man that's on a mat. He's 38 years old, right? I was 38 years old. Now I'm 39 years old. That's a bummer. That just happened too. But I'm glad I'm not 40. Pastor Jamie's 41. Tuesday. Listen, make sure that you text him. Good morning, Pastor Jamie. Make sure you text him. I give you permission to text him and say, happy birthday, old man. All right, listen. Send him a text message just about his birthday, all right? It's on Tuesday, right? Tuesday, did I get that right? Come on, people. You should know your pastor's birthday. And so listen. Jesus is revealing to the world that he is not just a miracle worker, but that he is God. That he's God. He's showing people that he is God by meeting physical needs in a supernatural way. This is amazing. John's like, my best friend is not just my best friend. He's God. Like, he's God, right? This has got to transform John's life. Continuing in verse 1, Jesus crossed over the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias, depending where you're at, it's depending where they called it. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs. He had healed the sick. Jesus' ministry is growing rapidly. I mean, it is growing rapidly. And, too, right, if you could turn water into wine and if you could heal people, you'd have a lot of friends, too. Right, there'd be people following you like crazy. These people aren't necessarily saying, I want to live for Jesus. They're like, this is the best rock concert I've ever been to. Have you ever seen like stuff like this happen before? I mean, this is amazing. Listen, you got to see this guy. He does things like nobody else can do. Like, you got to check this guy out. So literally, it's like nothing's going on and Jesus is becoming famous. He's becoming famous because of things that he can do, not necessarily because of who he is. He's becoming famous because of things that he can do, not because necessarily to Jesus. Listen. This is so important. This is a side note, but I'd throw it in there. Listen, people are drawn to Jesus People are interested in Jesus. Listen, you should really consider inviting your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers to church. Why? Because people are drawn to Jesus. We hope and we pray. That's why you came. Not because you were drawn to a person. Not because you were drawn to a music. That might have enticed you a little bit. But we hope what's kept you here, it is the number one statement in our mission statement. Love Jesus. We hope Jesus has drawn you here. And listen, you get this, especially if you come to Life Community Church, right? Listen, people aren't freaked out about Jesus. They're not worried about Jesus. It's the religious stuff. It's the churchy stuff. It's the, oh my goodness, really? Like, I do not want to deal with this problem again, right? Most people don't leave church because of Jesus. Most people leave the church because of us. People. Let's continue in verse 3. So Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with the disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover. And so literally Jesus is on the move. He's at the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He now moves up a hill. And we know that a few of his disciples are with him. He's about to have a conversation with the disciple. And we understand that this is all happening during the Passover. And if you've read the Old Testament, if you know anything of the Bible, if you grew up in church, if you've been in Sunday school, you get the Passover. And they're coming to celebrate the Passover. And the Passover is this. And you get this, right? The Passover is completely to this. Pharaoh in Egypt is in a last attempt to set so the Israelites are in Egypt, they're slave to Pharaoh, and God's last attempt to set these people free, he tells Moses to tell the Israelites to take blood. That's right, blood. He does some weird things, God. Like if he did this in our day, we'd be like, what? You want me to take blood and put it over my doorpost? Okay, whatever you say. Take blood, put it over your doorpost, and in the middle of the night, the death angel is going to come through. When the death angel comes through, if you have blood over your doorpost, everyone's firstborn son will not be harmed, will not be taken. Not even just firstborn son, but actually firstborn livestock, male livestock as well. Pharaoh, right? The scriptures say Pharaoh, before the bread can even rise in the morning, in the middle of the night, Pharaoh's son is dead. Pharaoh's freaking out. And so Pharaoh says, get out of my land, Israel. I don't want you here anymore. Go, 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 go. And so all these people are very aware of Old Testament concepts and ideas and thoughts and processing in this New Testament world. It's awesome how God has come to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament. Verse 5, Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, this gets fun, right? This gets fun. Where can we buy bread to feed all these people? I mean, I'm thinking, really, God? Like, you want to feed all these people? Like, we're talking, and we're going to see this later in scripture, but we're talking 5,000 men. That means they have families with them. We're talking a crowd probably of at least 15,000 to 20,000 people. I mean, we're talking larger than Columbia have gathered to watch Jesus. Right? 15,000 people today show up in a church, and that's a mega church, folks. That's a big church. Have you ever been in a crowd of 15,000, 15 to 20? When my wife and I lived in Chicago, one of my favorite things to do was on the 4th of July to go downtown to the lake, right? Where there was a million people watching the fireworks. It was awesome. Like, it was awesome. I had a best friend. He's like, there's no way I'd ever go down there with you. I hate crowds. I could never handle that. You were shoulder to shoulder with people as far as you could see. And this is what's happening. This is what's going on. And Jesus is up in this hill, and he asked Philip a question. Hey, let's get some stuff, some bread. Let's feed these people. What? Are you nuts, Jesus? Like, oh, they're not here to eat. They're here to see you do something amazing. Do something amazing. Like, who cares about their stomachs, right? Come on. He's testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. And if you're a parent, right, you get this. You get this. You've worked so hard, Nathaniel. We've worked so hard, buddy. Training you. And then you ask that question that you already have an answer for, but you're hoping because you've trained this boy so much that he's going to come up with the right answer. And what have we been doing for the last... That like, huh, Dad? What are you talking about? And I'm like... What have we been doing for the last 10 years, boy? You know, I mean, this is the conversation that Jesus is having. He's like, listen, you've been walking with me. You've been seeing some things. Like, you know how I function. You know how I work. I want you to know who I am. I want you to know you have access to what I have access to do. So here's a question for you. How are we going to do this? Philip's replied, this is a good one. Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. Even if we worked for months, other translations say 200 denarii worth of bread would not even come close, meaning like it would take the average worker 6 to 8 months just to get enough money to feed this group of people, right? Some of you in here, you are Philip. And some of you in here, you're sitting next to Philip, right? He's the guy that's running the numbers as soon as there's a problem, right? He's the guy already. I mean, I can see Philip, like, mentally. Like, I'm watching this whole God thing. And Philip, like, there's this Excel sheet that pops up in his head. And he's like, and Jesus is like, seriously, dude, kill the Excel sheet. Like, right, don't you know who I am? Philip's attempting to figure out how much money they'll need to get the right amount of food. Listen. This is good, simple but good. Budgeting is good. Amen? Budgeting is good. If you're stressed out about money, this is free advice. Get a budget. You'll be amazed at how much money you have. Or you'll be amazed at how much money you don't have. One of the two. Get a budget. Like, that's free. I get it, simple. It's easy. But, like, budgeting, I promise you, it'll transform your life. You should do it. Here's the thing. Philip runs the numbers without asking God. Philip runs the numbers without asking God. He doesn't say, Jesus, here's what we've got in the natural. How about you? What can you do in the supernatural? He doesn't think, Jesus, hey, listen, I just saw you turn water into wine. Do you turn grass into bread? Maybe? No? Yeah? Can we do this? He runs the number, but he doesn't ask the Lord. He runs the numbers and he doesn't ask the Lord. Oftentimes we do this, right? We run the numbers and then we say, nope, not going to work, not possible, not even close. Listen, God's given you vision. Vision that's bigger than you. And he is the provision for that vision. And we have to stop saying no to God's dreams and saying yes to what he wants to do. Verse 8. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, right? So now we got number two here. He's like, I got some ideas. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? Jesus then says, tell everyone to go sit down. So they all sit down on the grassy slopes. And this is where we see the men allowed alone numbered about 5,000 people. Andrew brings two things to Jesus. He brings resources and he brings a person. Who's the person that he brings? A little boy. What are the resources that he brings? Or what does the little boy have? He has resources. And what are those resources? 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Listen, this is a meal of a poor boy. I mean, this is a meal. Barley, right, was evidence. If you're eating barley loaves, if this is your diet, which bread is like a very important thing in the Old Testament. Like, you know, when your mom sits down, she's like, eat those vegetables. They're good for you. Back then, it'd be like, eat that bread. It's good for you, right? I mean, it's a very important part of people's diet. And so, but if you're eating like 5 barley loaves, like these little loaves of barley and fish, like it's a simple lunch. It's a simple meal. Think of it this way. It'd be like today if you sat down for lunch and your wife or your mom or whoever, they said, listen, we've got sardines and peanut butter sandwich today. Which a peanut butter sandwich then would probably be great. A peanut butter sandwich now, you're like, yep, the budget is low. We're pulling everything out of the cabinets. Where do those sardines even come from? Anyone know where those sardines came from, right? Andrew's like, I don't know how to fix this problem, but this is what I know. There's a kid over there with a Lunchable. Can you do anything with that, Jesus? Can you do anything with that? So this little boy has childlike faith. A kid's ability to trust God is oftentimes a lot greater than ours. Right? Yeah. It is so much easier to start your faith as a child than it is to start your faith as an adult. It is so much easier to continue your faith, walk in your faith daily as a child, than it is to walk in your faith as an adult. Why? Because as a kid, we don't have a lot of baggage. As an adult, it's like, can someone please take these bags? Right? I mean, have you ever paused, and I hope that you do this summer, as you're driving, as you're at the pool, as you're at lunch, as you're at a barbecue, whatever, have you ever paused and just said to your son or daughter, hey, listen, there's a few things we need to pray about. Do you mind praying for those things? I encourage you to do that just for entertainment. Like, make up some stuff if you have to. You know, let's pray about these things, son. And then pause for a minute and listen to your kid pray. They really believe that God hears them. And oftentimes as adults, we don't even get to that place. Why? Because good night, there's so much going on. I've been there, done this before. Our brain's freaking out. We can't figure out how it's going to work. We don't know how it's worked. We've ran the numbers. We're so blinded. We don't even see the resources that we have that God has given us. We're barely even thankful for those things. And we're like, you know, we're so overwhelmed, we don't even get to prayer. We don't even get to Jesus. This boy's thought isn't 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's not enough. He's thinking, listen, Jesus wants my resources. You can have them. He wants them. You can have them. It's amazing what God can do with our little. And a lot of us here oftentimes feel little. We feel like we don't have enough to give. We feel like we don't have that talent. We feel like we don't have those finances. We feel like we don't have anything to give. And I would say this to you. A little that is available is what God wants. A little that is available. And that's exactly what this boy had. He had a little and he was available. Could you imagine being this boy when Jesus took his Lunchable and began to feed 15 to 20,000 people? Wow. I mean, imagine walking through that crowd as that little boy afterwards, like, dude, love that lunch, man. That was awesome. How did you do that like that? It was amazing. Like, I can't wait. I want to give Jesus what I got to see what he's going to do, right? Everybody is like transformed. Like, oh my goodness. Man, I want to be that little boy. Chapter 6, 11 through 13. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterwards, he did the same thing with the fish, and they all ate. This is so good. And we could, I'm telling you, we could spend literally weeks on what they wanted. Man, this is a beautiful picture of what it looks like to follow Jesus. Oftentimes we're like, man, if I give my life to Jesus, I got to give up this. I got to give up that. I can't do this. I can't live this way. I can't live that way. Man, that is not. That's religion. That's not Jesus. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. What are you doing with Jesus' bread? You wasting it? Right? I think it's funny that we call money, right? Some of you probably have never heard this before, but I've heard this every once in a while. We call money bread. You've heard that before, right? That bread? Yeah, it's like, are you wasting Jesus' bread? So they picked up the pieces, filled, this is just like Jesus, 12 baskets with scraps. As he's saying, listen, boys, remember, I have vision. And with that vision, I have provision. Come ask me. By the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Listen, in the Old Testament, which Jesus' audience would have been very familiar with the story. Very, very familiar with the story. You can go to the book of Exodus, and I would encourage you to go to the book of Exodus and read the story. God raises up a deliverer by the name of Moses. Come on, that's right. It's good. You guys know this stuff. Moses to deliver who? The Israelites, yes. And where did he deliver them out of? Egypt. Man, I love it. We're so proud of you. Pastor Jane would be so proud of you guys. Egypt, because this ungodly king, right, was destroying them. So during the wilderness, wandering for 40 years, right, this is even before they've really even accepted God as God. This is before they've given their lives to Jesus. They've just said, man, this God has set us free, right? And he's providing for them before he's even asking anything of them. That's what I love about God. He's not asking anything of you, and he's still providing for you, right? 40 years they needed food. If God didn't provide, they were going to starve and die. So every day God would provide manna, bread from heaven, and they would eat that. So God would drop this bread down, and they would eat of it, and they could not take it with them, because whatever they took with them the next day would spoil. Every single day God provided. Every single day God provided. Every single day God provided. Listen, every single day God wants to provide for you. How is he doing it? Write it down. Every single day God wants to provide for you. How is he doing it in your life? Write it down. He's providing for you every single day. Right? Before the Israelites even really knew who this God was providing for them. Listen, so during this Passover, years later, it's not Moses, it's not Egypt, it's not Pharaoh, it's not initially those Israelites, it's ancestors, relatives, way, way, way down the line. They're sitting on this hill, and Jesus walks up and says, and we're going to see this later, I am the bread of life. And not only do I want to feed you physically, I want to see it feed you spiritually. And the best part of the whole story for me is this. There was a little boy that Jesus wanted to use. And was there anything spiritually that this little boy had to give to these people? No. But Jesus knew that he needed to meet their physical need before he could meet their spiritual need. Jesus wants to meet physical need before he meets spiritual need. He wants to. That's the kind of God we serve. He cares about your needs. And he wants to use the rest of us. Some of you in here, you've been asking God to meet a physical need. And there's someone else in here, right? God's been asking you to give something so that physical need could be met. And when that physical need is met, something unbelievably supernaturally is going to happen in that person's life. All right, let's move on. 14:15. Woo, I'm telling you, we're getting closer. We're about halfway through. I'm going to skip a lot here in a few minutes. Oh my gosh, it's 10:02. I got to hurry up. When the people saw him do the miracle signs, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting." When Jesus saw that, band, come on up. When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. So Jesus is like, listen, this is amazing, right? They're like, oh my goodness, all these people, we want you to be the king. We want you to be the king. We want you to be the king. Why? Not because of who Jesus was, but because of what Jesus could provide. We want you to be Lord because what you give us, not because of who you are. Shame on us, right? Shame on us. God, forgive us sometimes for living. I do this all the time. God, where are you? Sean, I showed up in your life like last week and did something miraculous. Really, are you asking me this again? Yes, I am. Help me. Are you even with me? I don't even know where you're at. Like, you seem so far away. He's like, golly, these people, I cannot deal with them anymore. Right? Listen, you cannot use Christ for your cause. And a lot of people do that. Everybody's got a cause. They've got a moral cause, a political cause, a social cause. Listen, and Jesus, right, a lot of people want to invite Jesus into their life to benefit their cause. Jesus is not, we're not asking Jesus to be on his team. He's asking us to be on his, we're not, yeah, you get what I'm saying. Let me just move on. We need to stop getting so excited about something and start getting excited about someone. We need to stop getting excited about something. Some of you are like, man, I just feel like I'm moving on from one thing I'm getting excited about. It's like up and down. Excited, not excited. Excited, not excited. Excited, about, excited, not. It's because you're focused on your cause and you're not focused on Christ. And you need to focus on Christ. And I promise you, oh, the things he'll do for your cause with your stuff. 16:25-26. Let me get to this real quick. They found him on the other side of the lake. So literally what's happened now is Jesus, he slipped away into the hills. There's a few boats left. The disciples get in the boat. They will go across. There's this humongous storm, right? We've read about it. You've read about it. There's this humongous storm. The disciples are freaking out. Jesus is like, why are you freaking out? I'm God. Stop being afraid. If you're afraid today, stop being afraid. That's just a real quick sermon note. Stop being afraid. God is with you. That's what he's saying to these guys. And so the rest of this crowd the next day, they get across the lake somehow. Not all of them, but most of them. And they say they found him and Jesus is about to say something. This is so good. Jesus says this to them. I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I feed you, not because you understand the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things. Don't be so concerned about physical things. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. When we lose, this is so good, when we lose sight of that eternal purpose, we lose sight of the real purpose for our physical things. John 6:35-36 says this, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not be hungry again. Feeding the 5,000, he's explaining it again. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. The woman at the well. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. Listen, as you hunger physically, as you thirst physically, you also hunger spiritually. You also have thirst spiritually. As your neighbors, as your coworkers, as those around you this summer hunger physically and thirst physically, they also hunger spiritually and thirst spiritually. This is the warning. This is so good. And it's interesting that this passage of scripture is John 6:66-69. At this point, many of the disciples, the crowd, man, let this be never said of me. Those that are following him turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, It's like he can read their minds. Actually, he says this in the passage. I can read your mind. I know what you're talking about. Are you also going to leave, Simon Peter? Are you also going to leave? He turns to the 12 apostles that have been walking and says, are you going to leave as well as like 80% of this crowd of this 15, 20,000 people have just left me? Are you going to leave? When things don't go your way, are you going to leave? When it's not what you thought it was going to be, are you going to leave? Like, you've been there, right? All of us have been in a place of transition. We're thinking to ourselves, do I really want to up his mouth? And Peter says something amazing. And if you know anything about Peter, usually when Peter opens up his mouth, we're like, oh my goodness. The disciples are like, please, Peter, just shut your mouth. Every time you talk, it's not good. It's not good. He says this, Lord, to whom would we go? To whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. Regardless, let me jump. I'm going to skip that. Very few people quit following Jesus because it's not true. All the time I hear it. Very few people quit following Jesus because it's not true. People quit following Jesus because it's too hard. People quit following Jesus because it's not convenient. People quit following Jesus because it's too costly. People quit following Jesus because they'd rather hold on to their stuff than give it to the Lord. Peter recognizes something most people don't see until late. When you choose not to follow Jesus, giving of your sin, surrendering your suffering, submitting your stuff, when you choose not to follow Jesus, you choose automatically to follow someone or something else. Someone or something else. Who today are you following? If we choose to stay focused on our physical need, we're losing perspective of our spiritual need. If we choose to stay focused on a physical need, we're losing perspective on a spiritual need. If we forget who the owner of our stuff is, those around us might miss an opportunity to see Jesus meet their physical need, and not just their physical need, but most importantly, potentially their spiritual need. This summer, your small or even large acts of generosity have the potential to make an eternal difference in somebody's life. Don't think you're just wandering around aimlessly doing nothing. This summer, be generous. It has the potential to change everything. Could you stand with me? Boy, you guys got 3 pages in about 3 minutes. As Casey sings the song in closing, and then Jody's going to come up at the end and share with us, I want you to reflect on the fact of what have you done with your stuff? And have you forgotten the fact that Jesus wants to take your little? Jesus is hoping you're available to give the little that you have, that have the potential for sure to meet somebody's physical need, but more importantly, to transform somebody eternally, forever. Lord, I thank you so much, God, for this house. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for Life Community Church, where we live, God, to love Jesus and serve people. With a hope that people might make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. So God, I pray as we go through this summer that we would hold our hands up and say, God, whatever it is that you have, whatever it is that I have, all of the things that I have here, God, on this earth, would you use them for your glory? Got my money, got my house, my car. God, my resources, whatever those are, my talents, my time. God, I know oftentimes I feel little. But God, I want to be available. So God, I pray this summer, as we're at the lake and at the pool and at the water park, running through the sprinkler, barbecuing with our friends, enjoying everything you've given us. Holy Spirit, when you speak to us, let us be quick. Not to set up another meeting to meet with you, but let us be quick to give you our stuff. It's your awesome, we pray. Amen. Would you worship the Lord with me? There's a calm that covers.
It's a place of healing. It's a place.